I guess I'm not familiar with who was here last time or not, so just a very short introduction again, simply because it's a rather unusual sefer to learn, and just want to explain very, very briefly. The reason why I felt it's a very important limud, and it's a good limud, and we learn it in yeshiva by us once a week, like Ben Hashmashes Shabbos. When we go to, most of us who learned in yeshivas were exposed to some of the Amkus HaTorah in terms of the halacha. Somebody who's learned the lomdus, Reb Chaim Brisker was Megala, and the whole depth of it, it creates a tremendous bond and kavodat Torah for the Torah. Unfortunately, a parallel mahalach in Agarata is not usually current in yeshiva. The most important thing in a yeshiva setting for a younger bacha is to push him to learn. Chazal did say menu b'neichem in Aigoyen, that a younger age is distracting rather than helpful. So Chazal, the mesoros of yeshiva is to encourage a real these limudim, and Musar is devoted to hammering home things that are very, very important at that age. But on the other hand, a person grows up, and in the world of Agada, which is such a big Chelek Torah, it's shallow, it's strange, it's tidbits. Even the word pearls, pearls are nice, but unless they're strung, they're just raw material. They're some sort of string of pearls, some sort of sense of the Omek Torah and so on. The sefer that is the sefer that gave us the mahalach in that omek is the Maral. He got the Maral was yonik from Kabbalah, and he had a big yad in Kabbalah. But the sfarim are not Kabbalah sfarim in any such imagination. He took the ideas, the thoughts, the approaches, and worked it out into the mahalach that is in the sfarim. I picked the Tiferes Yisrael of all the sfarim. Many of the sfarim are arranged around Yontif, and he's masbing Gvuras Hashem. It's going on the pasuk L'cha Hashem Agdula V'Gvura V'Tiferes V'Netzach. Each midah B'Kadosh Baruch Hu is represented in Yontif. Tiferes is Matan Torah, and he explains why. He'll explain it in the sefer later. What I found attractive was, first of all, Talmud Torah is always in season. It's not something that it's not like you're learning Pesach or Tisha B'Av material with Netzach at all the time. The Torah is always in season, so to speak. Also, he also deals with some basic questions, not of the nature of the depth of Agarata, but Ksiv and Kri and Mesoros HaTorah and what came before what. Things of that nature also get dealt with. So it's a sefer that allows us to deal with both the depth of Agaritas and some deeper points, and allows us to deal with some, I would call them practical Hashkafa questions of Mesiris HaTorah and so on. And so we can get both out of Bez Hashem. Just in terms of format, the Maral is Mayrich. I will try to give a little bit of a sense of the structure of what he's going to say in the Perek as a whole, so that we know where we're headed towards with it. And the Maral's derech is whenever he touches a chazal, he explains it. Even if it's divergent, he kind of goes off and explains it, because that's what he's doing. He's explaining chazal, and every time he hits a maimer chazal, he doesn't only bring the point that he wanted to bring, he'll explain it b'derekhal fully. So you need to keep, I'm going to try to sort of tag what he's saying in the big picture, and then we'll have the time to see each piece on its own. In terms of interaction, we don't have all that much time, but I do think it's good to have questions in the middle, because first of all, it's late, and if you're going to hear me droning for an hour, not going to be so good. And we'll try to keep a balance between getting off rail and sort of working out things that maybe weren't clear. We're going to start with Hakdama. The Maral's Hakdama is, even though it's a so-called Hakdama, I mean, he doesn't thank his wife and kids for helping him. He basically goes through in Yonim. It's not very different than the rest of the Sefer. Let me just give the outline of what he's going to say in the Akdama, so that we get a sense, because it shouldn't start spreading like an oil slick, just that we have a sense. It is very organized. Maral is very organized, but he does elaborate on points. He's basically saying that Torah itself is given, you know, he raises the question of it. If a person doesn't understand it, they might have made a mistake, he still has a right to learn it. But teaching it to others, like he's going to do, is there a makom to teach when you're not sure if you're mechaven l'emes? He feels that there is an etza, even if you're not sure of yourself, still to hang on in some way. He explains the famous chazal of the Birchas HaTorah and, you know, the Chshivas of the Aretz. He explains, and once he explains that chazal, he explains the different dargas of Torah and the understanding of Torah, and then he finishes it with a mimer of David HaMelech in Tehillim describing different Chalkei Torah. That's the general structure of it. Each piece stands for itself, it doesn't need it. Okay, so the Akdamas HaMechaber. V'zos HaTorah Shasom Moshe Bnei Yisrael. So HaKosah Zeroitzu Loima Ki HaTorah Chefetz Munach. The Torah is there. Kol HaRoitzu Liskev Bo Yiskev Bo. He doesn't say he gave it to Klai Yisrael. Rak lifnei bnei Yisrael. He put it in front. It's put down in front of everyone who wants to be zocha. And people shouldn't say Torah is only for people that are not going to make a mistake. I'll turn it into lakol. Let's stop here a minute. And I want to bring in a morale in a different place, adds an explanation to this. And I want to when we say Torah was given to everybody, and he says, like an object that's placed down and anyone can take it, it sounds on the face of it as if it's not a davar chashuv. Everybody knows that on a smorgasbord, the kasher varnishes you leave out in big vats. The drinks, somebody stands there and measures out cups. You don't leave out the, you know, it's if it's chashev, you don't just kind of leave it out. If I say that something is, Torah is not given to people directly, but rather it's kind of put in front. Isn't that megareya from chashev HaTorah? Aren't you saying that Torah is kind of, yeah, you know, just leave it out on the tables and anybody wants to take should take? Where's the chashev HaTorah in that? So he's the Maral in one or two other places of Chiddush HaGadol speaks about, and he gives a more specific. He speaks about the pasuk of Ein Mikri Yotzim LePshuto, and he says the following hesba. I'm paraphrasing a bit, but I think the content is what he means. Let's say you have a very typical type of thing. The government has a set of laws that they enact. And then they put out little brochures for people to understand it, even if they're laymen, if they're not lawyers, and so on. So they'll explain it in easy language and very simplified, and there'll always be a little disclaimer on it. What's binding is not what's mashma in this little pamphlet, but what's in the law book itself. The understanding is that by simplifying it, you have distorted some of the meaning. Scientists, you know, the stuff you put out for the common people, you simplify and you distort by that some of the meaning. That's simplification usually is at the price of understanding it. Sometimes you have writing that's so well that you can read it on different levels and it rings true on different levels. You can read it simply, you can look deeper into it, and both are right. And that's a very, very difficult thing because you're taking really two things and making one out of it. When Torah has in itself pshat, Ein Mikra Yotzei LePshuto means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah an emes that expressed itself in pshat. If you know Chumash and Rashi, you know Emes. It's not a simplified version of Emes. It's Emes as it stands. If you know Chumash with Ramban, you know an Emes. And if you know Chumash with Tisrei Rizal, it's an Emes. And the fact that Pshuto Shel Mikra is more Pashit, doesn't, and it's accessible to everybody, doesn't mean that it is at the price of precision. Somebody once told me an anecdote, a true maisela, but it's very, very correct agdara. A friend of mine was once listening to two people arguing, and he said, and the two people were arguing, not arguing, they were discussing, and one person said he heard from somebody that everything that the Briska Rav wrote is mechuvin al pi Kabbalah. So the person responded, wow, the Briska Rav was very, very big. My friend responded correctly, no, Torah is very big. In other words, just like in math, you can work out an equation in different levels, different ways, and they're all emes because that's where the system is built. In Torah, if you learn up the emes in pshat, it's going to be emes all the way. The things will shtim, and all the way. So Torah was given in an oifen that it can apply itself to anyone. It's mitzvah, the godless of Torah, that every person with his tfisa can be tofisit, and what his tofis is 100% emes. There are layers of omek. So that's what he says here. Torah is asher tosim asher Yisrael rak lifnei bnei Yisrael. When you give something, if I explain something to you, or to you, or to you, I've limited the thing that I'm explaining, and I'm capping it. This is for the Havana of a first grader. It's not going to be correct for an eighth grader. This is for the Havana of an eighth grader. It's not going to be correct for Havana of an adult. It won't stand well for 1 year. Yes?
Isn't it kosher, though, in some way using it kosher on that lower level? So therefore, how can that be emes if it's kosher?
It's not kosher, but it's a whole world that stands correct within itself. If you make the calculations, just like in math, you can do a problem, you can solve an unknown using a formula, you can solve it using a graph, you can solve it doing longhand. They're all, as long as you're using that system consistently, it'll always give you the right answers. Chumash and Rashi will give you the right answers of why Lavan did what he did, and who is the tzaddik, and who is the Rasha and the Schar. It's the godless. It's part of the Kol Yochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the same dibur will let itself be heard. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, the things that he says are infinite. The only way, I don't know what an infinite thing means. All I know is that I understand it, and if I learn the emes, my understanding is emes, and if you learn emes, your understanding and his understanding, even though it's slightly different. And if my child learns Bereishis Bara, and he knows the Prat and the right Taich, and he understands correctly, it is a correct understanding. We can't do it. When we reduce something or enlarge something, you lose. It loses, it gets distorted one way or another. By a Kadosh Baruch Hu part of the Kol Yochan. That's what he says, a Kadosh Baruch Hu put Torah lifnei bnei Yisrael. It's not geared to anybody. It is there and can shtel sich zu to anyone. That's the meaning of that point. Okay. V'dovaze, so he says, but lo yoma gankin ulai eshke b'torah. A person also should not be afraid of making a mistake. And again, this is Akhtoman for himself. V'dovaze pirshu b'medrish. Hevi ani el beis hayayin v'digla lai ava. It's going in Sheh Hashirim, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me to the beis hayayin. And the Pashto Pshat Nigla Ava means he bestowed Ava on me. The word Dogol is he led me with that way. Different connotations of that. The Gemara has a different. The Chazal have a different type of understanding of the word Digloi. Reb Yoina Ama Shnei Chaverim Oiskim Balacha. Two Chaverim are learning. Ze Oim a base of Shalalacha. Veze Oim a base of Shalalacha. One has, Beisav Shalalacha means the lumdus, the understanding of where it comes from. What's the Shorishes Halacha? What are its Gedarim and so on. One of them got it right, one of them didn't get it right. Oyma Kadosh Baruch Hu says, V'digloi olai ahava. Meaning that because of my love, the common gear says, Dilgu olai ahava. The same thing with the lex. Amar Abacha, Amar Oret Shekayu Le Ahava Eva. And now Ma'aretz, who can't read Ivra, and Ava, he reads as Eva. How? Kegoyin v'ahafta. It says in v'ahafta shemakech, he says v'ayafta. Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu v'digla le'ava adka. Let's talk about this chazal in itself. He brings this chazal. He actually does not elaborate. I do want to talk a little bit about this. And he explains, Pirish Beisav Shalacha, Sherish Halacha V'tayma. First of all, Chazal give two examples. One is base of shal halacha, and one is shekari la'ava eva going v'hafta v'yafta. Chazal are picking two parts of Torah. In Torah Shebiksav, the words as they're written is the gufa Torah. That's the Torah. The Torah is breishis bara likim esashmayim esaretz. Those words are the kedushas of Torah. In Torah Shebal Peh, the havana is the Gemara's words are not as significant as the content of the words. There is an inyan of loyla yoyma adam b'loshen rabo. A person should say things the way his Rav said them because it's mechavenim la'emes. But the ikur is the havana. So the Chazal give two mashalim. One mashal is where a person is, two people are learning, one understands it correctly, one doesn't understand it correctly. Chazal are not saying that one paskin's right, one paskin's wrong. We're not talking about holding my paskining. But if you learn Torah Shebal Peh and you don't understand it well, that's also good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'digla le'ava. And then Reb Acha says a bigger chiddush. Even Torah Shebiksav, where the words are important, and the person botches the words. Instead of saying v'hafta Hashem Elokecha, he says v'ayafta. Instead of you shall love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says you shall hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Still we say v'dugaluga ava. That's the Chazal over here. I want to explain, first of all, Stam, I don't know if anyone, if people realize, many of the piyutim in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are built on Chazal and Psukim, they're full of it. In the Nusach Hini Ani Mimas that the Chazan says, in before Shemoneh Esrei, he says V'yino Dilugenu Olav Le'ava is referring to this Chazal. I mean, it's a paraphrase in this Chazal that the Chazan says, even if I botch it up and I really mess it up, you know, you should be mekayim this positive Dilugenu Ava. That's not a Mayimah Muska, just to know where it comes from. That for, but I want to give it a little bit of a Havana. Why is it like that? I mean, and he's going to speak about it. What's the reason? He will a little bit talk about it, but I want to be maktimit. And it says like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of the Ava, he kind of skips over it. Whether it skips over it, disregards it, different ways of learning the Gulim or the Lugim. The Havana is going to be as follows. When a person, for instance, if a person comes to my house to fix the wiring or the piping, and he does a lousy job, so it's a lousy job. Even if he's a nice guy, even if I like him, the pipes are not, the pipes are broken, the leaks, the wires don't work. The fact that there is anything in terms of Ava, the fact that there's anything else doesn't make a difference. The tachlis wasn't accomplished. Let's say there are other things that are kind of more representative. A person buys flowers. So flowers don't have a real inherent value. They're a way to express kesher, ava, and so on. Let's say it's a little like a yeshiva bach. He doesn't know exactly which the right flowers and he messes it up. Someone told him it's supposed to be roses and buys the daisies or whatever. It has the wrong ones. So over there we say that ava is mekalkel sashura. It happened to one of my brothers, by the way. He's a tremendous masvid, and for his wedding day, he bought the wrong flowers for his wife. That was, and he's been learning ever since then. He's been sitting and learning. He's learned much from that. So that's so over there we do say that the avos mekalkes ashura, because the shura of the thing itself, it wasn't an inherent value. There was something beyond it. When a person is, and he's going to explain that in Torah itself, there's a certain panemius. If a person's learning were to be just factual, mechanical, practical, then if you got it wrong, you got it wrong. But if a person is, if there's a deeper dimension to it, if Talmud Torah has in itself an ava, and this is a point that he will speak about, then you can have a kiyum of the lugale ba'ava, that at the end of the day, with your full kavana, you did come out with that, you expressed an ava takad shparuchu, but on the practical level you botched it, but your neshama came out. I want to, I guess, in my mind, to explain something that is sometimes misunderstood. There are a lot of chassidic maises along the genre of a kid came to shul, he didn't know how to blow shofar, he blew a whistle, he didn't know how to daven, he said aleph beis, there was an am oretz who thought he was supposed to give lechem aponim and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he put chalas in a maise. The result, it's a genre of chassidic maises that flow along the same theme. To which Litvaks obviously disagree and say it's terrible, and you know, back and forth. I want to explain the Nekudas HaEmes and just to explain when each is Nogea. Certainly, Chazal say there's an Hogan Klal Yisrael of Vidigla Le'ava, that if a person's intent is Emes and Tov and Kula L'Ratzen, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even after Chazal was saying Voyavta Hashem Lekecha, shall hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but his heart cried out Vahavta, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'avoso takes it in. But let's say somebody has the chance to learn Ivra. Let's say a guy comes up to Chazal and he says, oh, your davening is very beautiful, it's very heartsick, let me help you a bit with the Ivra. And the guy says, no, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu only cares about the, I don't care about the Ivra. It's like the guy that when he messed up with the flowers, someone comes and says, next time before you buy flowers, come to me and I'll do the order for you, don't worry. And the guy says, nah, what's the difference? These flowers, those flowers, those flowers. That starts becoming a callousness on the part of the person who's doing it. The kid who never learned and you know how to read, and he said Aleph Beis, that falls under the category of Vidilegeno Leinu Be'ava, or Vidigla Le'ava, as says the Pasuk. A person who has the chance to do it right, and should do it, and he doesn't do it, that's an expression of disregard. That stops being Ava. It's very important to remember it. Yes, all those mices have a shorish in Chazal. It's Emes because Chazal says that. But you have to understand that for the person who can do better and doesn't do better, then he's showing contempt, and that's not good. Okay. So he says, "V'im sheish lefarish shalakach." I'm sorry. "Umpnei zeh nira ki abrocha limud haTorah lasek b'divrei Torah ve'ivrach l'umat Torah." He now is going to explain that he sees this idea in the words lasok and not l'umat Torah. Why? So he says, "You could have said pshuto." Now let's explain the point before we get here. First of all, there's a misnomer because we used to the word he's sitting and learning. I learned a lot. I learned for many years. So the word learning by us means sitting by the shtender, shuckling, and trying to learn. Let's say somebody, I ask somebody, well, what do you, well, I studied law. I studied medicine. Great. And then I said, but I don't know anything. So that's not, you know, it's, I guess the word learn or study will have two connotations. One is the act of attempting to acquire the knowledge, which is what from Yiddish become translated ich lern, I'm learning, which is one of these sheepish things, you know, like when you speak to people outside, he's learning. It doesn't, you know, people don't realize that learning is not a word, it's a Yiddish word, it's not an English word in that context. But so learning as a maisa, as a pu'ula, as a verb, and then there's I learned how to do X, Y, or Z. The word limud means to know. I studied medicine in a sense, and I know it. I studied medicine for 5 years, for 10 years, whatever it is, and yes, I have it. I learned how to fix this or that. So that's the word limud. The word limud really means to learn. Now, lasok means to be engaged in the activity of it. Just the pashta dikduk of it. Lasok means I'm engaged in it. That's the right word. The word asek is an engagement, a business, an engagement, an activity. So he says, so we could have said a davar pashta, he says, Mipnei shabrocha zay si birchas hamitzvus shechayev levorach al kol mitzvus esei. Ve'ein mitzvus esei rak bedovet sheish bei maisa. You could have said a very simple thing. Brachas are brachas mitzvah. Brachas mitzvah requires a maisa. There's no bracha on things that don't require a maisa. Zayin mitzvahs to me is a great mitzvah. There's no bracha on it. The things that are in the lev, you need a maisa to be chay maisa mitzvah. V'lokach yesh levarach lasok dainu limud Torah b'maisa. So in the technical set of structure of bracha, that makes sense. When he's learning, what we call learning, the activity is called esek. It's the knowledge of what you learned, the understanding. If somebody learns just by perusing, he's not saying it, doing anything, one would not make that bracha. And here there's a shailah, she's nem ala maisa. So that's one reason he says, and it's a correct reason. It's a technical reason why the nusach of the bracha is lasok, because you can't make a bracha for the knowing. The bracha is for the activity of learning, which speech is an activity. Omnam nir loimek mashemar. He says he thinks that has a deeper meaning. Kilekach mevarchon lasok bivitoro. In other words, to study it means that I know it. I have it. A guy finishes sugya and he doesn't really know it, doesn't understand it. Ain't a limud. That's not called I've learned it. I attempted to learn it, but I didn't learn it. As long as you want to learn the emes, even if you made a mistake, so learning itself, he says, is not a problem, because what one needs to do is to want to understand and to know. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and this is a fine. And let's map out a little bit the Knesha, he says, because he will speak about it later, and there'll be an explanation for it. A person, we could say Talmud Torah, there are three ways. One is the knowledge of Torah. That's Torah, and therefore if a person learns and doesn't really feel he knows, there's no Talmud Torah there. The other one is that he knows exactly the emes, and he knows, you know, he knows. That certainly is Talmud Torah. But for a person who doesn't, a person is patshkening and patshkening and patshkening, what exactly, where is he, where's the kima mitzvah? So he answers very important tonight. If the person learns in order to know, in order to understand, that falls under Talmud Torah. And there'll be a hezv a little bit later. But just the very, very etzem in the kuda, that the learning has to be with an eye to understand. So if a person is just interested in saying pulpulim, chidushim, learning without giving it the proper effort and time and so on to know it and understand it, to the best of his abilities, that is a chisaron in Talmud Torah. But he said, so as far as a person comes to learn himself, not being sure if he's going to be oimid ala emes lamito should not deter him from learning. But what about teaching? Which is, he's speaking about himself. Omnom. To teach somebody else, I've got two problems. Well, let's say I didn't get it right. So what's the point of wasting everybody's time? I'm wasting an hour's time of people for something that's not emes. Mainly myself, I'm doing the best I can. But why would I waste other people's time? When a person is teaching somebody else, the purpose is, listen, you didn't figure out pshat, I'm going to tell you pshat. You didn't come up clearly what Allah is, I'm going to tell you what Allah is, I'm going to explain to you. But if I got it wrong, what am I doing? And it's so, there, you know, people don't know. It's derech emes is very far. And certainly in our doors that people don't know. I'm always impressed how this is going back 500 years approximately. And you know, whenever people say that in the old days, I'm still trying to figure out when those old days were. But certainly we have the morale that he says that nobody in his door is in my door. He says, how could a person be anywhere near sure that he knows and of the chachmim the adam hasheni af imu mechavin a halacha mi yodem yularotzen imi fizu lezulase vim lo yularotzen adayin lehol dava. The second thing is that when a person is teaching, there's a second nakuda of, am I getting across the other person? It's fine. I know the emes, I have it down well. But if the person not mekabel it, then there's a lack of tachlis in it. So if teaching is needs a mekabel. And if a person is, if it's very difficult to think that the mekabel will be mekabel it, then what's the point of teaching it? I once heard from Goldwicht, he said of the Briska Rav, very beautiful vart. It says in the Pasuk, Dvash v'cholop tachas l'shonich. So Chazal say, if the Divrei Torah are a ravim kidvash, emor. If the Divrei Torah are as sweet as honey, as pleasant, say them. V'im lav, and if not, gunzim tachas l'shonich. And if not, keep quiet, don't speak them out. So the Rav asked, Manefshach, are we talking about something that's true, that's emes? So what do I care if it's not pleasant? If I'm talking about something that's beautiful, but it's not emes, then how do I say it? So the Rav said, we're talking obviously with things that are true. That's obvious. But Kavodat Torah demands not to put things out that are mevuza. In other words, just like you put a beautiful pareches around a Sefer Torah and you present it in its beauty, if your presentation mauls the Dvar Torah, even if it's emes, but the Kavod Shel Torah demands that it be presentable. To say something that says Chazal, to say a davar she'eino nishma, in many, but in Musa, there was a kapeda not to say a Dvar Torah to someone that doesn't appreciate the knach of it. So I could pun him. So he says, so im lo yirotz adayin lo hold of vein sofi ki kol pula sherochok shegia pol tasim vaso. And if something doesn't really have a chance to accomplish what it sets out to accomplish, ein roye sheyiflo so pula shepos regevatola. In other words, if a person is teaching because of another reason, he has a need to talk, he has a need to pick up a check, so fine, that has nothing to do with the audience. But if a person is out to teach, the Rambam says, I'm writing a sefer. If the chances that I'm going to get a word of truth across to somebody and the person will hear it the way I want to hear it is far, so what's the point of it? That's the point. V'adova z'ashaman af b'doros ha'shleima tzach z'iris yisayash gospel. It was true even in good doros. It was true, and he brings a chazal that says b'knisosa l'beis ha'medrash mispalel yirotzen shel ha'koshel dvar alocha l'omal tor tomei. I shouldn't mess it up and people be happy. Harei says, "Sha'af b'talmid chacham gadol leiv gadol leiv ha'adam nota l'smach keshmati v'zulosu chisaren." So the moral says a fascinating point. He says Chazal are talking about Chazal. When you walk into Beis Medrash, you mispalel that people should not be happy with your kishalim. So Maral says, you see, there is a natural resistance to be mekabel something from somebody else because he said it. It's the fact that somebody else said it is kind of taking away from me. People don't want. So he says, forget about the problems of, am I saying it right? Is the thing right? But there's an innate resistance to be mekabel because it's the other person that's saying it. So I don't like his vart because it's his vart. That's natural to a person. It's not good midas, but it's his vart, and that's that. So he said that was a takon of the tefillah. I'm going to skim down a few lines just so that we can keep some flow here. I'm skipping down about half a dozen lines. The ima dova zeh ukach b'shleimi amala mikol shekein b'dor bilti sholem. If this was true in times of Chazal, asher kol divrei zeh losin rotzen, So we have two problems here, and why would I go ahead and say it? If a person is mechavin ala emes, he is going to have his be able to do it. And now he's going to explain this nekuda of being mechavin ala Hashem Yisbarach. In other words, this is a point that he's going to try to make now, and I think it's the main nekuda in this hakdama here. Anything that you do l'shem shemayim, the siyata d'shemayim, it's good, and it's wonderful, and it's great, and l'shem shemayim is a great thing. But there's a yichud in Talmud Torah that he's going to point out that's very unique, that more than any other mitzvah inyan, there's a greater difficulty be mechavin l'shem shemayim, and there's a greater siyata d'shemayim. Now he brings the Chazal, famous Chazal. Uveperek el nedarim, Amr Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Famous Chazal that the Churban came because of Berachah Torah Tchila. But David says, "When a tema, he says, how could that be?" Not Akum, not Avodah Zarah, not Gil HaRayos, not Shefichas Dam Bayis Rishon. We're talking here about Bayis Rishon. So Gil HaRayos, Avodah Zarah, Shefichas Damim, that's not bad. But Lobir Torah Tchila, Yeshiva Shalatz once said, what are the three most kaladik averis in the Torah? And the answer was Avodah Zarah, Gil HaRayos, Shefichas Damim. Because he said every Musa Shmuz he heard about anything else was always, this is even more Chamer than Gimel Chamuris. So if they got through coming to davening on time and Lashon Hara and Etzel Yadayim and this and that, he said by Cheshbon those became the three most kuladik. So he says, I don't understand. He says, you're talking about Avodah Zarah clear in Tanakh, Shvichas Domim clear in Tanakh, Gil HaRayos, and the Omno. So he says a Hesbon. So this is a very typical yisod in the Maral. This is a typical language that he uses. It's a very typical yisod. Let's explain this. Let's say a person comes to a doctor, and he says, and he has a terrible infection. Doctor treats it. Comes back a few months later, another terrible infection. So the doctor says, well, if the problem wasn't the cut you got in your hand, the problem is something else. Every time you have a phenomena, you have the root cause and you have the micro cause. Those familiar, Aristotle has four different uses of the word cause. And the root cause means you keep getting infections because you have a problem with your white blood cells. The reason why there's unrest in this country is not because the police aren't doing this work or this people is rousing the rabble or whatever it is. It's because of the poverty, it's because of the this, because of that. Anything that is the true cause of something else will continue to cause it unless that's taken care of. So a lot of times it's hard to be omit. Is it just because this guy said a fiery josh that everybody went to protest and to burn things down? Or is it because there's something deeper happening in their process? Is this person sick because he happened to be in contact with somebody sick? Or is something else going on over there? And are the markets crashing because b'mikra this happened, that happened? Or is some fundamental flaw? Anytime something is an essential cause, it will not only cause it, but will continue the situation until you don't remedy it. So he says, "Val yikshelach." Someone's going to come along and say, "Hanagar husiba lebinyan abayis." A carpenter made the house. The imkolzer beheda nagar shabayis kaim. The carpenter can die, and the house stands. The famous mashal that Shachaim used it to explain Akadosh Baruch Hu as havaya.